Well, good morning. Good to see you again this morning. Thank the Lord He's given us another week, another time to come fellowship together, brothers and sisters in Christ in His house. Still looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to repeat some verses again today because I want them to sink in. I want you to remember and think about those verses and what they say. We're going to be mostly in the book of John this morning. I'll read just one verse as we begin over in the book of Romans in chapter number 8. So if you want to turn there, and then we'll go back to John. Again, I thank the Lord for the opportunity to begin in His house and be with brothers and sisters in Christ. And I found out one thing with this flu deal. When you get old, you don't get over this fast. I'm telling you. But appreciate your prayers and your thoughts through this. If you will bow with us, a word of prayer, and then we will begin to look at God's Word together. Lord, we thank You again for an opportunity to open Your precious Word. And Lord, we'd ask today that as we open it, that Your Holy Spirit would walk us through it. Lord, that You would embed it in our hearts and our minds, that we can do a recall on it as we witness to those that we meet in our daily lives. Lord, we are called to be a workman for You. And Lord, we'd ask that You'd help us to fulfill that calling. Lord, I thank You for each one who's present here today and those who are listening in by the way of internet. But Lord, we know that there's no good come out of anything done here today unless it comes through and by the precious Holy Spirit of God, that it opens our minds and our hearts to it. And may we be strengthened and better prepared to be a witness for You. Bless our gathering today. Thank You, Lord, for saving us. Thank You for all the promises. Thank You for Your watch care. Thank You for bringing us here this day. Bless our study together, Lord, in My precious name we do pray. Amen. Now, I started out with one memory verse, so to speak. It says, God's the Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. Notice, spirit first, truth second. And then in John 6, 43 and 44, it says, no man can come to Me, and that is Jesus speaking. He said, no man can come to Me except the Father draw him. I want you to remember that. No man can come to Me except the Father draw him. That's come to Me, Jesus, except the Father draw him. Then Jesus said, in John 14, 6, He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man can come to the Father but by Me, Jesus Christ, in parentheses. So we have no relationship with Christ, no relationship with God the Father, unless the work of the Holy Spirit is involved. And that's what I want us to continue to look at today, because in John 4:23, He says, but the hour cometh and now is. I want you to notice He says, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit, first spirit, and in truth. That's important in the sequence that we look at it, when we look at it in spirit and in truth. Then over in Romans, chapter number 8 of the book of Romans, and verse number 8 and 9. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. So in our fleshly body, in our natural man state, we have no ability to please God. So for us to be able to live a life that's pleasing to God and to our Lord Jesus Christ, something must take place. Now in verse number 9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh. What? But you're not in the flesh. Well, I believe we are. I think I look around and we see we're in flesh. Reference to something else then. But you're not in the flesh, but you're in the what? In the spirit. Now notice, if you're not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit, something has to take place for you to be in a situation that you're not controlled by the flesh, but that you're controlled by the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God does what? Dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? He is none of his. Now, we started this thing out with Nicodemus, and Christ had told Nicodemus, he says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And of course, we know the thing Nicodemus said, can a man enter a second time in the mother's womb and be born? We know that's impossible. But when we look and it says that we got to worship Christ in spirit and in truth, that means for any and every one of us, if we ever come to know who Christ is, if we're ever able to worship Christ and worship His Father, something has to take place in our lives. And we must be transferred or become spiritual, let's say, and become spiritual. Well, how do you become spiritual? Natural man comprehendeth not the things of God. He receives not the things of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. So that means for each and every one of us, something has got to take place within us before we're ever in a position that we can receive those things concerning God and Christ. Something's got to happen to make that real to us. So let's look. Now go back with me to John. And we're going. One time I said, well, all I need to do is play Brother Billy's message for last Sunday night this morning from a Sunday school lesson. Well, that was a great message. Chapter number 14, the book of John. Verse number 16. Begin to set the stage what must happen to us. Now, Christ says, He says, I will pray the Father, and He shall. Notice the tense. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you, and He's going to give you another comforter. What is Christ saying? Christ is saying, He's speaking to the Father. He said, anytime that I'm in your presence, I am your comforter. I tell you what to do, so to speak. I lead you. I direct you as you walk with me as a follower of me, Jesus Christ. I am your comforter. And He says, I'm going to give you another comforter, and He may abide with you. How long? Forever. Now, why in the world did Christ say this in this manner? He says, I'm your comforter. I'm going to send you another comforter. And this comforter that I send is going to abide with you how long? He's going to abide with you forever. What is Christ doing? He's looking down the road just a little ways, and what does he see? He sees Calvary. He knows that he's fixing to go and be our sacrifice, the sacrifice for your and my sins. He also knows that he's going to be victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave, and he's going to rise again the third day. He knows that he is going to confirm that he's risen for 40 days here as he stays on this earth after his resurrection, that there is no question that he has been resurrected. And then he's going to ascend to the Father, take a seat on the right hand. So where is he now? He's not present with them on the earth. He has now ascended to the Father, and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. So where does that leave them? Their comforter now is gone. Christ is not present. So what does Christ say? I'm going to send you another comforter, and that comforter that I'm going to send is going to be with you for how long? Forever, for eternity. We'll never leave you. We'll never forsake you. And that's where we are this morning. And if you know Christ in saving grace, he's present. Now, he says, even the Spirit of truth. Notice there's spirit and there's truth again, mentioned in the verse. Whom the world, what? Cannot receive. The natural man cannot receive it. Something's got to happen before you and I can receive this that Christ is going to send and the Father is going to send. He says, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know for him, for he dwelleth with you. Now, he said, he dwelleth what? He dwelleth now with you, and shall be where? In you. He's now dwelling with you. Later, he's going to be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me what? No more. So Christ is talking about him in the physical realm. In a little bit, the world's not going to see me anymore. I'm going to send to the Father. He said, the world will see me no more. Next word is what? It's a but. But what? But ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So now we're talking about something that cannot be seen. We're talking about something that's going to be indwelling within us. Now, what is that thing that he's going to send that's another comforter? Now, if we look down in verse number 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Notice, I've spoken these things to you, yet present with you. But, in verse number 26 it says, but the Comforter which is, what? The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in whose name? In my name, in the name of Jesus Christ. He shall do what? Teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, he said the Holy Spirit's going to descend upon you. When the Holy Spirit descends upon you, that Holy Spirit is going to rehearse to you all those things that we have done and we have talked about and we have spoken of. And these things are going to be brought to memory and brought clearly that you might understand God's plan and purpose in Scriptures. We look at chapter number 15 and look over in verse number 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. We've just read the Father's going to send it. Now the Son's going to send it, God and Christ in one. And they're going to send the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll send it to you, even the Spirit of truth. And here we are again with Spirit first and truth is second. Which proceedeth from the Father. And that's going to proceed from the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And what is that Holy Spirit going to do? He's going to testify of who? Of me. Okay? And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have seen me from the beginning. That Holy Spirit that's going to come and indwell you, he says it's going to do two things. It's going to bear witness, and you're going to testify of me. So now, the Holy Spirit has got to bring us to a position that we can worship Christ. So let's look at something for just a moment. Go back with me to John, chapter number 3. I want to look at Nicodemus again for just a moment. Pick out a few things and a few verses. Then we're going to go to Luke, the first chapter. We're going to look there at a few verses. In John chapter number 3 and verse number 5. Now Jesus has already said in verse number 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he not see the kingdom of God. Verse number 5, he also said, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He's going to be born physically, and every one of us, we look around here, and we know we've been born physically. We see each other in the physical body. But Christ says here to Nicodemus, something else has got to take place. You've also got to be born of the Spirit. How's that going to take place? We talked about it last Sunday. There's none. All have sinned. Romans 3:20. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We are dead in trespasses and sin. How is it that you had a dead man and see life in him? There's absolutely not one bit, there was not one bit of spiritual life in you and I prior to the saving grace of Jesus Christ that entered us. Not one speck, not one grain of spiritual life in you. So how is spiritual life going to come into you? Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Nicodemus said, how in the world is a man going to enter a second time in the mother's womb and be born? Well, what does Christ say concerning that? In verse number 6, we just talked about, he's born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. How many times has he emphasized it? 3 times he said, you got to be born again. Now look at number 8. Verse number 8. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Anybody in here have the ability to see wind? I guarantee you, not a single solitary one of us in here has ever seen the wind. Well, how do you know? That there's a wind. Because you felt it. You don't know where the wind come from. You don't know where it's going when it passes you. So it is with the Holy Spirit of Christ. You cannot see it. You can't see it coming and you can't see it going. But I'll tell you one thing. If it ever lights on you, you're going to feel it. And you're going to know of its presence. And you might feel it as a light, gentle breeze. Or you might be like my daddy said. Ain't no question when the Lord saves somebody, he's saved because he got daddy's attention. Sometimes it can be that sweet, small voice, and sometimes it can be a little bit stronger voice. Well, I want you to look at something in this verse. He said you can't tell whence it comes. Holy Spirit can be working on somebody sitting right beside you and you know absolutely not one thing about it, and it's just chewing on them and chewing on them. He says you can't tell where it comes, you can't tell where it goes. So is every one. I want you to notice that. So is every one that is born of the what? Spirit. You say, how in the world can that be? Nicodemus says, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? I've been trying to figure out during this whole time to give a simple explanation of how this can be. Only thing I know is God said it and it's done. All I know is I didn't deserve it. But he got to me. Then I got to look at some things, and I want to look at a couple of examples. How many people that's ever been born that does not know the difference in good and bad? You think there's anybody that's ever been born that don't know the difference in good and bad? They know what's right and what's wrong. The natural man has the ability to know what is right and what is wrong. You and I have ears to hear, a mind to think, and a heart to receive. We talk about heartfelt love. Love for your mate. One year, Wednesday morning at 5:36. You have love for your children. You have love one for another. Man, the natural man, has the ability to love. But the natural man has no ability to know the love of God. You have to experience the love of God. And that can only be experienced by the work of the Holy Spirit and a new birth. And God can use those gifts that He's given us, and He does, and He did with you if you're saved. He used those natural gifts that He has given you that you might hear the Word of God, that you might think on that that you are hearing, and it might penetrate the heart of stone and soften it and help you and I to understand that we're dead in trespasses and sin. And we cannot help ourselves in that situation. He says, by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a what? It's a gift. And God has, through the Holy Spirit, He has got to soften that heart enough to realize that we're lost and on the way to an eternal hell. And soften it so it can receive that special, precious gift of forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Work of the Holy Spirit. I want you to go with me to Luke for just a moment. And I want you to look at something. I hadn't really thought about it in this perspective. In the first chapter of the book of Luke. What is the first chapter of the book of Luke about? A few verses. We talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Christ was spiritual, and He had to become flesh. You and I are flesh, and we have to become spiritual to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christ that was spiritual had to become flesh before He could ever endure Calvary and in a physical body suffer and bleed and die and pay the price for your and my sins and express God's love and His love to a lost and dying world. Work of the Holy Spirit. But now I want you to look at something just a moment when we think about the birth of Christ. Nicodemus says, how can a man enter into the womb a second time? That's impossible. Christ says, Nicodemus, I have that covered. Like the breeze that blows, the Holy Spirit can enter therein and work with a man's heart. In Luke chapter number 1, verse number 31. Now, we know this is where the angel has appeared to Mary and told her that she's going to bear a son. But I want us to look at a few verses here and think on it for just a moment. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Mary? What's going to happen? You're going to conceive in your womb. You're going to bring forth a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. Now, let's go down to verse number 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? In Mary's eyes, this is what? It's impossible. With Nicodemus, It was what? You must be born again. With Nicodemus, it was what? It was impossible. Nicodemus, it's impossible. With Mary, it's impossible. It can't be. It can't happen. But we're talking about God. Let's go on. Verse number 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the what? The Holy Ghost. What's going to intervene in the physical birth of Christ? I said that Christ was spirit. He had to become flesh. What's going to intervene for that to take place? Holy Spirit. You and I are flesh. We must be made spiritual. We can't do it ourselves. So what's going to do it? Holy Ghost. Let's go on. Holy Ghost shall come what? Upon thee. And the power of the highest. Whose power? Not a works mess any man should boast, right? It's the gift of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit is the only reason that you are saved this morning. If you're sitting in here and know Christ is your Lord and Savior. The work and the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, it shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Holy Spirit saves you. What do you become? A child of God, right? Well, look at verse number 37. Angel still speaking. Angel says, Mary, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And aren't you and I glad that as sinful and bad as we were, we still were not impossible to be reached by the Holy Spirit of the Almighty God. Verse number 38. And Mary said, what's Mary's response? Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Have you ever got to that point? Did you come to that point somewhere down the line? To realize your situation and open your mind and your heart that the Holy Spirit of God and be born again. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Holy Spirit, like the wind, come blowing into your heart one day. And you said what? Be it unto me according to your precious will, Almighty God. Save me by your marvelous grace, forgiving me for my sins. Wash me and make me white as snow in the blood of Christ. Born again. Spiritually born. Now, how does God see you today? How does God the Father see you today? How does God the Father see me today? You ever sinned since you've been saved? If you got up this morning, if you ain't real careful, you done it today. That ain't good English. And God the Father is sitting on the throne, and Christ is sitting beside of him. And Christ says, I made intercession for him. And God says, I see him through your blood. And I see him forgiven for the past, for the present, and for the future sin. Born again by the Spirit of God through and by the grace of God. John 3:16 is very simple. Whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There must be in your life and my life, somewhere in our life, the Holy Spirit spoke to us, showed us our sins, and just how rotten and dirty we are. Showed us a need to forgiveness for those sins. And showed us that there's only one who can forgive us of that sin, make us clean, and that is Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. Are you born again today? If not, listen to the sweet Holy Spirit of God. He has a message for you. God bless you, and thank you for listening today.